Now, what we just heard is convicting. We all need to be convicted. Always nice when we come to hear the Word of God and we are made to think and reflect upon our own lives. I'm going to speak with the Lord's help on another area that we should think about, and that's our prayer life. How would you rate your prayer life? Well, there's been some incentives that I've been enjoying in the Word of God that has helped me in my prayer life. I think we would all admit that we don't pray enough. Sometimes we just pray about the big things, not about the little things. Mr. Albert Ramsey taught us that if we pray about the little things, we'll automatically pray about the big things. So I think it's something that we can all strive for, an attitude of living in an atmosphere of prayer, and maybe try to get away from just the official time when I pray. So we'll have a look at a few things. We're going to look at the difference of prayer in the Old Testament versus to what we have now in the New Testament. So we'll start in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 22. This, of course, is Solomon, and he's before the people. 1 Kings 8 and verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath. And on he goes. Lovely words that we could speak of. But I want to get quickly to verse number 30. Notice what he says. And hearken thou to the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. Notice, and hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. And then he says the same thing in verse 32, hear thou in heaven. Look at verse 34, then hear thou in heaven. Verse 36, then hear thou in heaven. I think you're seeing the theme here. 39, same expression, 43, 45, 49, the end of 52. So you stand back from reading that, and you get this picture in your mind of this man on earth. He has his arms, his hands spread up to heaven, and he's asking that God in heaven would hear this person on earth pray. And we find out that God does. That's interesting. Now, sometimes we have a problem hearing one another, don't we? We were told here today in the Bible study that when we stand to pray publicly, we shouldn't look at our feet, but we should project our voices so that everyone can hear and enjoy, right? That's the whole purpose of it. And I like to tell preachers too that we should listen. Nothing I can't stand worse than a preacher who can't listen to another preacher and he's going through his notes getting ready to preach. Anyway, sorry, that was a side note, little soapbox I stood on there. But we, you know, if I want you to hear me, I project my voice. I do that. Now, let's try to imagine, just for simplicity's sake, the sun is 93 million miles away. I could project my voice as loud as I want, it'll never make it there. How many more millions of miles would we have to add on for heaven? Yet here's a man on earth, and he's asking God, when I bow my head and pray, hear thou in heaven. And that's the Old Testament. You're going to find something very amazing when we come to the New Testament. But I'm just starting here very simply. This was a prayer of Solomon that when he prayed, when anyone prayed, God would actually hear in heaven. Now let's come through a little further, 2 Kings, and let's see if this actually happened. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. This is the king Hezekiah, and he's sick unto death, verse 1. There was a question asked by a young believer. He asked his father about what happens when I pray. Does God hear me? So we had a chance to sort of help him with this, and it's been an encouragement to me as well. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And then the prophet Isaiah is sent by God to tell him in verse 1, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now notice this, verse 4. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Isn't that encouraging? So now we're talking about a distance that's greater than 93 million miles, okay? And here's this man, king, and the prophet comes to him, and he's got a very solemn message, and he says, King, you're going to die. And the prophet delivers this message, turns around, walks out of his chamber, and before he gets to the middle court, this man turns his face to the wall, prays to God, and guess what? That prayer went whoosh, up to heaven, and before the prophet got, I don't know how many feet outside his room, God sent a message down. Whoosh. Oh, Isaiah, by the way, go back in there. I've heard him pray. Give him a message. You say, is that possible? I thought I had to maybe send a telegram to God or something. You know, don't we all just love our message and emails? You know what I do? I turn on my wife's phone and my daughter's phone message, you know, send a receipt when they read it. Do you ever find yourself looking at your message and your hate's been delivered? Oh man, I'm waiting for the read. When are they going to read it? So I know they got it. I don't have to do that with God. I have the authority of His word that the instant I pray, that distance is bridged. And He hears. That's encouraging, dear child of God. You know, you ever sometimes try to get the ear of your friend? And they're not listening. And they seem distracted. You ever experienced that? And you almost feel like apologizing for talking to them. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting your life by my problems? That's not our God. Our God is ready. He's listening. You know what the Word of God teaches in the book of Psalms? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Both ears. I got both ears of my God. You know what I love about Isaiah 9? It says that the government is upon his shoulder. One. Do you know what you read in Luke 15 when he finds that sheep? Places on both his shoulders. I got both his shoulders. I got both his eyes. And I got both his ears. You say, well, how can that be? There's over 7 billion people in the world. Listen, I am so important to God that when I pray, I have His full, undivided attention. Now, that's not an encouragement to pray, you need to be saved. There's no life in you that's responding to what the Word of God is teaching. Now, that should help me when I pray that I don't just ramble off a ditty. Because God is sick and tired of my ditties. Because He's heard my ditties. You get my point? That's what I was enjoying in the Bible study this morning. You know, the best way to prepare for a Bible study is just keep reading the chapter. Just keep reading it, okay? You know what I was impressed with? I was actually feeling ashamed as I was reading a prayer of the Lord. I thought, my, this is real praying. There's no distraction in His. Do you ever find yourself praying and all of a sudden you've forgotten, your mind's pew, and because it's a ditty, then you come back on track again? Sure. You weren't the only one with problems, brother. Every single one of these liars didn't want to admit it. But we're all liars. We all have the same heart. We all deal with the same issues. And you know what can happen? Our prayer life, which is so vital, such a link, such a privilege, can become, oh well, oh, do I got to pray again? Let's get a hold of who we're praying to. The living God of heaven. And He hears, okay? So this is wonderful. This is encouraging. Just in that, I don't know how, a minute, just bang, 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 the whole thing. And there comes Isaiah back, and he delivers a message to this king. Wonderful to think of. Let's come ahead to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is just a couple of books over. I shouldn't tell you where it is. It's going to be an awful thing when we get to heaven and you meet Nehemiah and he, what, you wrote a book? Oh my. I think there's going to be an awful lot of books like that. That is why this is how preachers cheat, because things leave your mind up here. I sent my Bible away and got it tabbed. Sometimes I can't remember where they are either. So Nehemiah chapter 2. Now here's this dear man, he's before the king, Artaxerxes. You find that out in chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah, a couple of books before Job. Nehemiah chapter 2, see, preachers can tell by the page is going, eh? They're not with me. There's the silence I'm looking for. Everybody's got it now. Good. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. So Nehemiah is the cupbearer, and he tastes the wine to make sure that everything's okay. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And rightfully so, he could have lost his life. Verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, what dost thou make request? For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. Do you know what's interesting about this? This man is in the middle of a conversation and he prays. I mean, how rude is that? You see, what I love from this little story is this. When it comes to praying to our Father in heaven, it doesn't have to be some particular form or ritual. It can be just as instant, on the spot. Can you imagine if I was speaking to David? And he would expect my undivided attention. And then all of a sudden, without him knowing, I actually prayed to God. Oh, Lord, give me help with this guy. Something like that. But this is the very thing that happened with Nehemiah. He is wondering. He started a conversation with the king. And he's wondering, now the request, well, what do you want? And he's, Lord, no, he didn't do that. I'm sure he kept looking at the man. And he's, Lord, give me help. What do I say? You know, I say this guardedly, okay? I say this with a great level of sympathy. I was speaking to a couple, and they were on a plane, and there were these Muslims on the plane, and they were asking the stewardess, where can we pray? And then they want to know which way east was. I'm not saying that. I don't want us to laugh at that, okay? But this was the ritualism. This, I have to do it this way, in this direction, in order for me to pray. Like that, that's sad, dear child of God. I find it amazing. And it's not just something that we do when we tell ourselves, oh, I'm going to pray now and I just hope God's listening. I want us to get a hold of this. Whether I'm in the car driving, Lord, right away, you're speaking to your Father. And he's listening. You're at work. You're on a phone call. You're whatever you're doing. Your eyes don't have to be closed. You don't have to be pointing a different direction. You don't have to be laying flat on the ground. Now, I do think it is nice. I try to do it daily to get on my knees to pray. But there's lots of other times during the day I pray and I'm not on my knees. I don't know. I went through a period in my life as a younger believer where I thought, there's no need of me getting on my knees to pray. I'm just going to stay sitting in my chair and my desk and I'll just bow my head and I'll just pray. I felt after a number of months that I was losing something. I'm just giving you my own personal. You have your own little personal way and that's fine. I like taking one little part of my day and just physically get down before my God. Is it necessary? No. Because like there's many postures in the Bible of praying. Solomon stood and lifted up his hands. Fine, if you want to do that at home, go ahead. Don't do it in the meeting. I hope some will come by. Your wife, if you're married, put your hands down. Because the next thing you'll be doing is this. Trying to get the spirit. But anyway. But I mean, see how unique prayer is? This is the encouragement, dear child of God. I hope you're sitting there praying for me and you're not closing your eyes. Another thing, just on a practical note. Do you try to enjoy the prayers of the brothers collectively? I try to ask God, help me in the assembly meetings to enjoy my brethren. I think that's why there's not so many amens, because we're not following. We're disconnected. And also, it's almost like, oh, by the way, he's done. Amen. I don't know whether you're glad he's down or what. But it shouldn't be that way. It's a very intimate thing. And to think at a collective level that I am able to come alongside of that individual who is representing the company and taking us into the presence of God, that's not a light thing. So we need to be with the person. From a perspective of a person who does pray, it's very encouraging to hear someone say amen. Now, don't worry, we're not going to get carried away and turn Pentecostal and go amen all the time. I don't think that'll ever happen to us. But it wouldn't hurt if we amened a little bit more. It's a little bit more. The odd little hallelujah wouldn't hurt either, but it might be really pressing the envelope. So we'll just go easy on that. But just enter in tremendous this privilege here. And here's this situation, this inverse. So let's come ahead again now. Daniel. The book of Daniel, coming ahead a number more books. Daniel chapter 10. Because what happens, it's amazing how these things are left for us in Scripture. What happens when you're praying about something and you're not getting an answer? Well, how wonderful that we've got an example of this. One example anyway. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 1. Daniel has been given this vision, and he wants to know just what it's all about. And look at verse number 1, Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, notice, 3 full weeks. I ate no bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse number 12. Finally, this angelic being comes through and speaks to Daniel. Notice the first thing he says to him. Verse 12. Then said he, this is the angelic being from heaven, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia, and so on. Fascinating. You know, there's a world of angelic beings that we don't see. Whole realm up there that takes place. So here's this man on earth, Daniel, and he starts to pray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, eventually 21 days. And maybe he started to think, God's not hearing me. That's what my heart would do. You ever been there? Felt the heavens were like brass? And then you start to wonder, what's the point of praying? Finally, this angelic being comes through. And the very first thing he tells him is this, Daniel, you were heard on day 1. Praise the Lord. And then the answer is given. So here's this man on earth, and he prays. Whew, up goes the prayer. God dispatches this angelic being. And this angelic being starts to leave the third heavens. And as he's coming into the second heavens, the domain of Satan, all of a sudden he encounters this fallen angel, the prince of Persia. They get into a fight, a battle. Goes on for days. Here's this good angel trying to trying to get free to go down and give the message. And here's this bad angel holding him up. And finally, this good angel calls back to heaven to Michael, come and help me, free me up, so to speak. And then Michael gets into that little battle too. And finally, this original angel, good one, he's finally freed up. And I would take it that Michael's left struggling with this bad angel. And down, you didn't realize the Bible had so much information in it, did you? You probably thought I was just reading out of a... That's not a comic book. That's what really happened. And down into this world comes this angelic being sent by God. And he comes into the room and he appears to Daniel. He says, Daniel, you were heard the first day. And by the way, here's the meaning of it. So simple. What am I trying to tell you, dear child of God? Keep praying. Because God hears. God knew when to send the angel. God knew when to free him up. God knows all about that. It's my job to pray. It's not my job to tell God when to do it. Okay? So if it's a loved one that's not saved, if it's a situation, if it's a job, if it's a wife, if it's a husband, especially if it's a wife or a husband, you pray. Because as they say, you get the wrong one, you'll pray after. Pray. I don't like to see when young people break up, get another person, break up, get another. Shows lack of exercise. Don't be like a swinging door. Hearts always get hurt when that happens. Pray, and your God is able to lead you, okay? So that's a wonderful lesson that we learn here from Daniel. 21 days of silence, but there was no silence in heaven. Because he was heard the first day. And the answer did come. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 now. Hebrews chapter 9. Now that's prayer in the Old Testament. Let's look at what we have in the New Testament. Completely different. Very unique. And this should be a tremendous incentive for us to pray. If we haven't already been incentive to pray. Okay. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 is going to contrast the Old Testament with the New Testament. Law with grace. I think you're all familiar with that. Look at verse number 1. Then verily the first covenant, the Old Testament law, had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And there was the tabernacle, and on it goes. Verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, notice, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, not of this creation. And then it's based on the blood, the death, verse number 12. Come to chapter 10. Look at chapter 10 and verse number 19. Love these words. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That divided, what divided is now gone. That is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, and so on. Now what you had in the Old Testament, you had an individual on earth asking God to hear in heaven. And God heard. We read about it. Now, what you have in the New Testament, dear child of God, is completely different. When I pray individually or collectively, I leave earth. Are you getting that? And spiritually, I enter into the holies of holies, the third heavens. You say, how's that possible? Well, I'm not a scientist. I just take the word of God for face value. This is what's being contrasted. There was this earthly tabernacle that you could see, you could touch, you could feel. And there was these compartments. And there was this veil that hung up between the holy place and the holies of holies. And the holies of holies is where the very presence, the Shekinah glory of God was. And there was only one man allowed on one particular day, three different occasions. He would go in through that veil into the very holies of holies. Do you know the privilege that we have today? I can enter into the holies of holies a couple of million, billion times a day. I can. Anytime, anywhere. you have trouble going to sleep at night? Do you know what I encourage you to do? Pray. Not that prayer is boring and puts you to sleep, but it's a lovely way to end the day. Just talking to your Father. He is your Father, right? And I actually go beyond distance. In a spiritual sense, I leave earth and I enter right before the very throne of my Father. That's the new and living way. There's no longer a veil that divides the compartments. I love this little word, boldness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. It's used a number of times in Hebrews. It's made up of two words, all and speech. Do you feel, let me word it this way. Have you allowed that wicked old heart that we have to convince you that there's things you can't tell your Father about? You know what the Word of God would say? You're wrong. I can speak to my God, my Father, about the most intimate things. Even maybe a lot of sins I'm having troubles with. I would encourage you to pray out loud. Good to hear you vocalize in your own hearing the sins you're having difficulty with. It's good. You're not just talking to yourself. You're not just filling a room full of words. I'm before my Father. I mean, you may as well say it anyway because he knows what you're thinking. Some said, wow, now that's quite a thought. Glad you came today. He's all-knowing. It's not like God is sitting in anticipation wondering, I just wonder what Scott's going to tell me. I mean, everything is open and naked before him. Why are we sometimes embarrassed to say things? Why? You see, we don't realize how wicked this old heart is. Do you realize that I've got something in here that has never been affected by the blood of Christ and never will be? The only way I'll get rid of it is when I'm raptured home or I get a new body, whichever comes first. I don't really care which comes first. I'm looking toward both of them. But it resists prayer time. It doesn't like to see you and I taking time to pray. It doesn't like to see you and I taking time to read the Bible. Sometimes we think that we can almost make it religious. I'm gonna reform this character inside of me. You'll never reform it. You just have to get used to dealing with it. You have to learn to expect its resistance. And in spite of all of that resistance, even... Have you ever experienced this when you're in the middle of praying to God? The most defiling thoughts shoot through your brain. Oh, you all look like such angelic beings. Coming back to my lying comment. I don't mean that in a critic. I'm just being kind of, I'm not accusing anybody of lying. We're all embarrassed of these things, aren't we? You know what my Father told me many times? He says, Scott, do you know why a lot of preachers don't preach on the deceitful heart? Because we end up telling on ourselves. And I hope you figured out by now, preachers aren't perfect. We're all the same. We all struggle with the same things. We all battle the same wicked heart. Here's a verse that I was enjoying just in the last couple of days. I'll leave this with you. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Do you know the thought that hit me was? In order for me to pour out my heart, do you know what Isaiah 53 says? He poured out his soul unto death. What a thing, eh? He has opened up such a privilege for you and I. I want to encourage my younger people. You develop a habit. When you are faced with difficulty, don't first go to your friend next to you. You make God your friend. First one. because he always has time for you. This friend next to you can only enter partway into what you're going through. But this friend, he fully understands everything. Okay? So I hope you've been encouraged, like I have been encouraged. Let's just make sure not only we're reading the Word of God daily, but let's make sure that little time that you set aside for prayer, just you and God, make it real. Keep it fresh. And just open up your heart and pour it out to the one who loves you.